from the Arizona Cardinals running back David Johnson joining us in the studio here. David?
Hey, doing, what's man? Up? Nothing much. I'm doing good.
Yeah, we can't let a softball star like David Johnson wait. I mean, that's that would be just wrong, wouldn't it?
Multi-talented.
Exactly.
Is that what's number one on your resume now, David, is the softball star?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Are you still basking in the glow of that home run?
Hey, to fit, I am.
That's right.
Yeah, that's the only person you need to do it to.
That's all that matters.
How are OTAs going for you?
OTAs are going good. It feels good to be back out there. Learning the playbook is going pretty well. And just getting out there and playing with the team is doing well.
All right. Acclimation to the new offense. What does it feel like for you? I know you were excited about the idea of a commitment to a running game, about having a fullback to pave the way for you. What does it feel like now that you're getting into it?
It feels great. Having the fullback out there, DC and Eli are doing a great job. And I really am liking the offense. I'm really liking the scheme. And I think it's going to be a good offense for us.
Now, in your career, whether you go back to high school, college, whatever, how much experience do you have with a fullback lining up in front of you?
College, I had a little bit more. High school, not really. And then, you know, we had our tight ends play with BA's system, but I would say probably college a little bit more than anything else.
Now, tell me, what do you like most about having a fullback? Because you have one of the best jump cuts in the NFL. So, I guess theoretically, I mean, there's no accident that you had success without one because you're able to get away from that first defender, sometimes fairly easily. Why does it help you?
I think the biggest thing with the fullback is they give an extra body to block. And them between a tight end, necessarily a fullback, they know they're going to go and hit somebody. Tight ends, you know, they're more of like routes, and they're more of having being on the line of scrimmage. Fullbacks are in the backfield with the running back, and they are guys who, you know, they're going to go and put their body on the line. They're going to go and do everything they can to make sure they have a hole for you.
All right. Now, after missing most of last season, how does the body feel? Do you feel quicker, faster? Did that time off in any way, was it a blessing in disguise for you?
I feel good. I guess it was, you know, with having a year off, my body does feel healthier. It feels to close to 100% as it could be. And I feel, you know, like I don't know if it's faster or stronger, but I would say my body definitely feels good.
Talking to David Johnson of the Arizona Cardinals here as we continue our exclusive coverage of OTAs on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station. Going back to what you said earlier, you're really liking this offense so far. Not giving away too much, what is the biggest, and outside of the fullback, what is the biggest difference for you on your plate going into this?
I think the biggest thing that I like, obviously, is that same as BA, I'm being utilized more than just a running back, being split out a receiver, and having different ways of getting the ball.
All right, David, I want to ask you this because we've got a couple of listeners and readers who are curious your thoughts on this, and I don't know what the cause and effect is, but you changed your diet significantly last year, didn't you?
Yeah.
Cut out meat.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know why, but some people think that going vegan might not have been a great thing for you. Has there been consequences? Are you still vegan?
I am not vegan anymore.
Okay.
I don't think it was the consequences as the risk. That was just a freak accident. The toughest thing with being vegan is I had to find a lot of different ways to get protein in my body. I had to find a lot of different ways to make sure I eat enough food, get enough nutrients, and enough of a balanced meal, because obviously you take the meat out, you got to find different ways to get the B12 and stuff like that.
Right. And you have to give up cheeseburgers, which is just just perfectly awful, right? But we're not athletes.
No. So how long did you stay on that diet, David?
I was on the diet only for about a month. And it might have been the worst timing doing it through training camp last year. Didn't help out a lot. And, you know, like I said, after a month, I went back to being eating normal and just having a good, healthy diet.
So what was the first thing when you got back on the protein? What was the first thing that you splurged on?
A burger. Yeah. Definitely a cheeseburger. That was definitely what it was.
Yeah, no doubt
or
about
it. Or a steak,
it.
One of the two. I don't remember.
What do you make of this this quarterback competition in camp? It's getting a lot of headlines, David.
Oh, they're doing good. But like Coach said, Sam Bradford's our starter until he proves otherwise, and he's a great quarterback. Sam came right in and became leader, and he's helped me out a lot, knowing that he knows the playbook, you know, inside out already. And Josh is very smart. I've learned that from the start, very start. They threw him out in the fire, kind of, with, you know, a couple practices back, threw him out with the ones, and he did a great job.
Did he really?
Now, you had a good relationship with Carson Palmer, obviously, and Drew Stanton while they were here. Focusing on Sam Bradford as the starter, What similarities does he have, the same as Carson? Maybe what differences does he have that you've been able to notice so far?
I think the biggest thing is that they're very smart guys. They've been in the league for a while, and they're able to conduct the offense to the way they want it to be ran, knowing everybody's position, being able to help everyone, being able to help me was definitely the biggest thing. I think the difference, though, I think it's just because it's the beginning. Sam just got here, is that he is being a leader. He just doesn't talk as much as Carson would when I was on the team. But mm-hmm. I think it's only because everyone else is new. He's new as well, mm-hmm. and he wants to make sure he knows, the whole team, all the players, and he wants to know his environment a little bit more.
All right, speaking of not talking much, when you came in, obviously you're still as humble as ever, but you were always just very agreeable. You didn't squawk a lot. I noticed this year you're talking a little more trash in a good way. And I know Fitz kind of told you, yeah, this is how you do it. But is this a sign of you morphing into a more vocal leader?
Yeah, that's my biggest. That was my biggest goal coming into this year, being more of a vocal leader for the team, for the younger guys. Now I'm the oldest running back, besides DC, obviously. But me being a more vocal, making sure I talk and let my voice be heard is one of the biggest things I wanted to improve upon.
So being able to do that, is that just something that comes with experience and familiarity and comfort?
I think so. I think that's what it is. Being more familiar with the offense, knowing what you're talking is the truth, and you're not just out there talking. Being more comfortable with the teammates, being more comfortable with the offensive scheme, the system and everything. I think that's the biggest thing.
Well, and the thing about Fitz, and this is cool, and this is why I ask it, because you and Fitz now get into each other a little bit, which is great. I mean, that's got to really add to the locker room experience.
Oh, yeah. Competitiveness is always makes a better player. So yeah. Fitz, not just Fitz, Chandler, me and him chirp at each other. And I think it always, knowing that you're always competing against not just guys on the other side of the ball, but also like guys like Larry is a good competitiveness.
Well, Fitz has got this wholesome, nice guy, perfectly polished image. People don't know how where he can go when he starts talking trash.
Oh, yeah. He has a great memory. He'll bring up stuff that, like game 13 last 2 years ago, 2016, he'll bring up a drop I had or something like that, where he's so specific about stuff. That's why he's so good at trash talking the good way, because he knows what he's talking about.
David Johnson of the Arizona Cardinals, our guest here on Bickley and Murata. Talking about memory, I don't know if you saw the clip a couple weeks ago of LeBron James. A reporter asked him after the game what happened, and he went through this sequence of like six or seven plays, and people were awed. Dan wasn't all that impressed by it. I was floored.
Well, I'm impressed by his game, but yeah, the guy's got a great memory. Why does that make him great?
I think athletes have the capacity to do that. Are you one of those guys that you remember like sequences and things like that? Because Curt Schilling was like that when he pitched. He could remember what specific pitch he threw to a batter. Are you the same way?
Yeah, I'm the same way, but mine's more of if I mess up. I'll make sure I remember that so I don't do it again. Some of the good stuff that happens, but mine's more of like the errors, the mental errors that I have.
Yeah, all right. Now, when Mike McCoy is putting together this offense, has he asked you what do you like to do? Has he asked for your input on any level?
Yes, he has, which is really good. He wants to have the players, have the offense surrounded around the players. So he has asked me, what's my favorite run? What do I like to run? What routes am I comfortable running? What about the blocking scheme? Do I have any questions about that stuff? So he's making sure that all the players knows what they're doing.
Speaking of LeBron James, I saw what you posted on social media recently, right? Your son.
Yeah.
Playing basketball. Yeah. The next LeBron James. But what did you write about that? Because he made one of the shots, and you're like, no cheering unless he makes it, right?
Yes. Yep. No cheering unless he makes it. He will not get a cheer unless he makes the basket.
Okay. That juice box for everybody routine?
I'm not a big fan of it. Yeah. The participation trophy, not a huge fan of it.
I hear you.
I mean, that's how I was when I was growing up. You didn't get a medal unless you're first, second, or third.
That's right.
See what bugs me along those lines, David, in the NBA, when somebody misses a free throw, they still high-five all their teammates. Step off the line and they still high-five all their teammates. Yeah.
Get back on the line and shoot it.
I know, right? I think it's more of a to keep their their composure.
Yeah, maybe.
You got this, keep their confidence up.
Yeah. Now, and you've got a great relationship with your wife, and you're really digging parenthood and all that. And I remember when I was talking to you at Phoenix Children's Hospital, and I asked if your young young son would be allowed to play football. And your wife jumped in and said, well, I don't know about that. Yeah. Right? Well, that's what a mother does. That's the maternal instinct. Does she worry about you physically?
Yes, she always worries about me. Every time I get hit, she's always cringing. And every time I come home after a game with bruises and sores, she's always telling me, you know, you can stop whenever you want to.
No, you can't.
She told me when I got hurt my wrist if I ever felt a little woozy that she's going to make me quit playing football.
Is that right?
Yeah,
see?
She's very, which is good, you know, she's very protective and she wants, you know, health is a big thing to her.
Somebody's got to have your back, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Now, going back to that play in Detroit where you got hit on the pass, was it that actual play where you got hit? Because I know you came back for a play after that. What was the sequence like, and what was her reaction to that play when it happened in real time?
It was the actual play.
Okay.
When I got hit with the catch, and it was that play, and I didn't really notice because I got the wind knocked out of me on that play. I didn't realize that my wrist was bothering me until the next series after we came back out. And she didn't think it was that serious. I didn't think it was as serious as, either, because I thought it was just a sprained wrist. Still, even after getting x-rays, they didn't find too much. And she didn't think anything into it. I thought I'd be back, you know, the next game.
Mm-hmm.
And so she wasn't really stressed too much about it because, like I said, it was only a wrist. It wasn't a knee. She was more stressed about the knee that I had in 2016 than the wrist.
Well, that game and that knee and the way you were twisted over, I mean, I'm not sure a lot of running backs would have emerged from that the way you did.
Yeah, definitely blessed for that one because I watched, after it happened, I watched it 1,000 times and I've seen running backs have a complete tear from stuff less than what that happened,
without
what had happened. So I just thank God that I was able to, you know, only it being a grade 2 MCL.
Yeah.
Only because of the swelling, or else it would have been a grade 1.
Yeah.
And but like I said, she was very mad. That's when she told me to quit playing.
Really?
Yeah.
And how serious was she?
She was very serious. The biggest thing, though, is because she didn't go to the game. And she was trying to call everyone that she could to find out what was exactly wrong.
Right.
And she called Anthony Edwards, and she was just panicking, and she wanted to know exactly what was wrong, and she didn't find out right away. And I think that's the biggest thing, not knowing what was wrong.
Yeah, and see, now that's amazing because this is real life stuff. Okay,
yeah.
Because your big payday is still coming. Right. And so, like, that's got to be in the back of a family's mind. But a play like that in the sport that you play, I mean, this is real life danger that you have to deal with. How did you talk her off the ledge? Did you say, listen, baby, I'm good. I don't get injured that easily. I've got great genetics. How do you talk a partner off the ledge with stuff like that?
That's what it was. I said, look, it looks worse than it is. It's only a grade 2. The only thing that is just swelling. And I told her that, you know, I was blessed for that to happen. I think God has taught me, and he's telling me that I still could still be playing this sport, and that, you know, I love this sport.
Yeah.
I love this sport, and I want to play as much as I can, as long as I can. And I think once her adrenaline came down, once she calmed down, you know, she came to her senses and stuff.
Arizona Cardinals season tickets are on sale now. If you want more information on Cardinals tickets, you can call 602-379-0102 or visit azcardinals.com. We're talking with David Johnson. Some of your off-the-field stuff you made headlines for, too, David. The Johnson Family Mission 31 Foundation. Dan mentioned it, the conversation you had at Phoenix Children's Hospital. Opening up David's locker there. And I know it's been a bit since you've opened that up. I mean, what does that mean to you to see the difference that you're making for these kids and these families?
You're getting them all addicted on video games is what you're doing.
Yeah, that's technology. You know, that's all they care about nowadays. I can't find it anymore. You know, my son, all he wants to do is play with the remote, play with my cell phone.
Mine too.
So I had to give in. And so that's exactly what happened. My wife and I started. We actually relaunched our logo last weekend.
Oh, really?
Last Monday. And we were very, very excited about it. We relaunched it to the Johnson Family's Mission 31. We wanted our son to be a part of it, and we wanted it to be a long legacy. And what we are is, like you said, giving technology to the kids at Children's Phoenix Hospital.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I said, this generation, kids love technology. And we actually, the first thing that we did, me and my wife, when I got here to the Cardinals my first year, we went to PCH, hung out with the kids. And we were hanging out with them in the kids zone, and they asked us if we can go to the isolation room because the kids couldn't come down.
Yeah.
And when we went up there, you know, obviously we had to gown up and everything, and we couldn't bring anything in. And we realized with our foundation, what we wanted to do is make mobile carts. So instead of the kids having to come down, the carts will actually move around from floor to floor, get to those kids that are in isolation, and that way they can have those Nintendo Switches, those iPads, those video games, like you said, watch movies. And then another thing is, it's not just for the kids in isolation or the children that are sick. It's also for the families. Yeah. It's for the parents. It's for those siblings that have to sit there and, you know, be there present to help out their siblings. And then also for the parents who might have to stay a little longer so they can use the iPads to get their work done if they have to stay a little longer.
All right, here's my last thing, and I'm sorry to keep you so long, but I find you fascinating, man. You talk about kids and video games. I go through the same thing. I could barely get my 16-year-old daughter to get a summer job because they live a coddled, pampered life, and they don't want to put the phone down. I wanted to tell her, David Johnson.
Yeah, I wonder where she gets that from, by the way.
David Johnson, superstar of the Arizona Cardinals, once scrubbed toilets for $9 an hour.
I've had some crazy works.
Exactly.
Some crazy jobs.
But what would you have become if you grew up in this generation, if you didn't have to struggle or work the way you did?
Oh, yeah. I think the work ethic is the biggest thing I learned from there. Knowing that I have to, if I want something to be done, I got to do it myself. So not just working at cleaning the faucets and stuff. I also did detasseling. I did asbestos removal. I've done a lot of stuff. And I think the biggest thing that I've learned from that is my work ethic. I've learned that, you know, if I want something to happen, I got to do it myself. If I want to provide, I got to do it myself. And not everything is given to me. So I'm blessed and I'm glad that I actually had to go through those struggles.
David Johnson, our guest. David, thanks so much for stopping by. Glad you're healthy. Can't wait to see you back out on the field this year, wreaking havoc.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me.
1,500 and 1,000, right?
Yeah, that's the goal.
Okay. All right. Thanks, David.